My first reaction to South Korea was how extraordinarily modern and rich it is, one of the 20 richest countries in the world by most measures. Its GDP per capita is 8 times India's and 15 times North Korea's, and in its way, a phenomenal success story. As recently as 1965, after all, even North Korea was richer than the South. South Korea owes much of its success and the speed of it to the United States Department of Defense, which, in addition to a magnificent highway system, has built 37 military bases in a country only slightly larger than Indiana or Hungary. While injecting billions of dollars into Korea, the U.S. military, for most of the last half century, has propped up the system of draconian dictatorship there responsible for closing the country's economy and society. And Korea's particularly heavy-handed form of protectionism has been richly rewarded, if only in the short run. Korean protectionism all but slaps you in the face. In Korea, you noticed almost immediately that there are no Sony TVs, no Chevrolets, not even Toyotas. Everything is Korean. Korea's prosperity is artificial and comes at a price. Despite what you read in the press, forget Korea as a place to live and do business. And forget Korea as a place to invest. Only with a big mama or big daddy in the form of the endless flow of U.S. military money into the economy can such a system work. And even then, there are no guarantees. Korean companies, because they were protected, naturally got bigger and bigger. More arrogance crept in. They thought they were smarter than everybody in the world. We can compete with the Japanese, they told themselves. Well, the only reason they could compete with the Japanese was because the Japanese could not sell in Korea. Korean companies continued to sell televisions in the United States and automobiles in Europe, but internally they were getting complacent, borrowing gigantic amounts of money because they thought they could not fail. So they got bigger and bigger, borrowed larger amounts of money, and got sloppier, less competitive, deeper in debt. And it all started falling apart in 1997 when the Asian crisis hit. Thailand, Malaysia, Korea, all of them had been borrowing short. All were violating one of the most easily understandable and long-standing adages of the financial world. Do not borrow short and commit long. When the crisis hit, they could not repay their loans, no matter how good they were at manufacturing shoes. It does not matter how smart you are. If you get overextended, you're overextended. With corporate rot having set in, many Asian companies, while successful at home, were not very competitive on the world market. Also, in several cases, their countries had pegged their currencies to the U.S. dollar. They pegged them to the dollar at a time when the dollar was very low in the market. For a variety of reasons, the dollar got stronger and stronger, which meant that the Thai and other currencies got stronger and stronger. So at the same time that the Asian companies were rotting from within, growing inefficient and non-competitive, their countries' currencies were going up. For both reasons, their goods were getting more expensive overseas. I will say it again. No pegged currency has ever worked long-term, no matter to what it is pegged. As Korea grew richer and richer, people could afford to travel abroad. What they had seen on satellite TV, Japanese poppies in season, the changes taking place in China, all the excitement of life in America, they could afford to investigate for themselves. Young people visited their cousins in Queens, New York, and saw them driving Toyotas and Chevy Blazers and listening to music unavailable in Seoul. More and more people traveled to the West, and more of them returned home unhappy. They pushed for an opening of borders in Korea, for an end to crony capitalism, to an economy run by a dictator, banks, and a few big capitalists, all of whom belonged to the same club. So things have begun to change. Some of the country's leaders are currently trying to make good on promises to open Korea to the outside world, but it is still a protected economy. And that is why I did not want to invest in Korea. If these companies ever really have to face serious competition, it is going to be a difficult test, and I do not think they will pass that test.